Well, I'll finish with this one, which is written about, really, out of bitter personal experience, that certain illnesses and ailments are somehow regarded as humorous just because of the parts of the body that they happen to affect. And this is a sort of Glasgow rap on that subject, and it's called, naturally, a bum rap. It goes like this. Dysfunctions of the anus never fail to entertain us. They always raise a laugh. Those afflicted in the rectum, how can anyone respect them? They're intrinsically naff. You can't have style with even one wee pile. A boil in the bum will finish even Beau Brummel. And anything swisher than an anal fissure. And no one rates a thinker with a sphincter full of clinker. Now, the dopey itch can be quite a bitch, especially if you're exceptionally hairy. One pal of mine tried calamine, it just made a stink, stained his wife fronts pink, and his macho mates laugh, he's a fairy. You can raise a few titters with a dose of the skitters, they'll be rolling in the aisles at the mention of piles, and urticaria's hilarious. Disrupted defecation always gets a big ovation, oh, mucho jollification over constipation when the colon comes to a full stop. Audiences cackle at problems cloacal when the farts snap, crackle, and pop. Aye, nothing's more banal than the anal canal. And yet, Martin Luther's constipation brought on the Reformation and made the peasants revolt. If Luther's bowels had been in shape, Ian Paisley'd be a pape in default of some Epsom salt. Carbuncles in his body made Karl Marx feel grotty, and he found that he just couldn't rest, so instead of just dozing by the telly watching Wogan, he wrote the Communist Manifesto. To his festering plucks, we owe all three books of Das Kapital, the International, and the Proletariat, who they say dictate in the workers' state. Like an antiseptic, he gave us dialectic. Instead of TCP, we got the NCP, now the CPB, and the CPGB, still the CPGB, more or less. And, oh yes, the IS, now the SWP, and the IMG, now just ordinary grassroots members of the Labour Party with absolutely no connection whatsoever with militant, always supposing there was such an organisation, which of course there isn't, and the thoughts of Mao, and the Pathé et Lao, and Fidel Cigars, and Probes to Mars, and Lada Cars, and the Archipelago. Where did John Wee fellow go with a funny beard? It's really weird, he just disappeared. Take Billy Connolly, please. No, just a wee joke. He's got every essential working class credential, but has he pilloried the system? If he has, I must have missed him, or the routines where he rages about the iron law of wages and surplus value extraction. No, it's all about bum scratching and the biggest job ever. Yet political analysts, pundits and panelists all tell you he's so clever. To me, there's nothing sillier than this collective coprophilia. These post-colonic gases are the opiate of the masses, yet the imagery is rife in political life, you know, Kinnock plagued by backdoor trots. For instance, here's a wee gag that I heard in Prague. A worker, stone cleaning the president's palace, gets caught short, meaning he has to lose some ballast, but he's four stories high in the scaff, so he tries to be really discreet, drops it down in the street. And as good luck has it, he finds one sheet or some kind of type of paper to wipe his behind, so he does it. As he tries to adjust his dress, a big gust of wind whips the paper out of his horn and blows it right on up and into an open windy, the president's office. His mate says, forget it. But the guy says, the law office, we better get it. So up he goes, but just before he can climb in the windy, he sees the door open and in comes President Husik. The guy gets ready to face the music. Then he spots a pillar, so he jukes behind it. Has he seen it? His mate asks. Aye. What's he done? Signed it.
John Gillies. Thank you, John. Muy bien. Muchas gracias, John.